Wheeler Chronicles presents Radio Outdoor Expeditions.
Good morning, Southern California. From Joshua Tree to Dutch Harbor, from the Canadian wilderness to the Amazon jungle, buckle up because it's going to be wall-to-wall action on Radio Outdoor Expeditions.
Radio Outdoor Expeditions is brought to you by Owner Hooks, Perfection in Hooks, Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's fishing, hunting, and shooting headquarters since 1971. On Target Shooting Range, Bass Knuckles Clothing, and Bite On Fishing, where your next catch is only a cast away. Good morning, Southern California, and welcome to Angler Chronicles Radio Outdoor Expeditions. We're coming to you live from Angel Stadium on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. And my name is Sergio, and I'm excited to get started, so let me introduce the crew. Let's start over here on the starboard side. I got none other than Mr. Ron Hobbs, director of the Owner Hook Schools. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Southern California.
Next to him, I got Mr. Tony Williams from the Bite On Fishing Team. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, everyone.
Then I've got Captain Larry Moore. Good morning, Captain.
Hey, good morning, Sergio. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're on your way to go fishing.
And then I've got, in the Elvis shades, I've got none other than Jimmy Bass. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a great show today.
I'm hoping so. And I want to get right into it and introduce our in-studio guest. I've got Mike Conroy, who's the West Coast Fisheries Consultant. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sergio.
And I want to make sure everybody understands you're also an attorney at law.
So yes.
Anybody misbehaves, you got us covered, right?
I will. Thank you.
All right. So let's get right into it. We're going to be talking today about... Actually, why don't you introduce the topic, Mike?
Well, I thought it'd be a good idea to start talking about the Fukushima power plant problem and if there's any radioactive elements in our fish that we're catching here these days, especially now that the bluefin are starting to bite and the offshore action is starting to take place.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of discussion and a lot of talk, and you know, most of it I think is just rumor and gossip, so I think want to clear it up, and just want to let everybody know that Angler Chronicles is not taking a position one way or another. What we're trying to hear is the facts, and then everybody makes up their own mind. Okay. Wow. So before we get too far, we've got to start with our freshwater report. So Tony, why don't you let us know what's going on in our local lakes?
All right. Well, we're going to take a little journey from Eastern Sierras all the way down to, you know, South County, San Diego, and in Orange County. Right now, the Eastern Sierras are reporting full swing trout fishing since opening day just a few weeks ago. Fishing is, some of them say it's the best in some years they've been. With some of the lower water areas, it's more fish in a very small area. But the they've had a couple of weather challenges up there, and it looks good for the next week here. Anglers report fishing using a variety of plastics, including Sierra slammers, minnows, mice tails, a lot of bright colors. If you're going to fish the Sierras, a lot of pinks and whites, orange, maybe some lime greens, and bright floating Berkeley doe baits. Of course, you know, one of the biggest trends up in the Eastern Sierras in the Bishop area is the bite-on attractants, so make sure to use that dip to help increase those catches there. Moving over to the mountains in Big Bear, some of the local mountains, it's been kind of windy up there the last couple of days. They say it's slowing down and weather's really nice this weekend. We've got a big trout fishing tournament along with a lot of the trout have really been scattered around. A lot of the bass are starting to pick up and the bites really good on the chew right there. Moving down to South County, Lake Elsinore, the Williams Bait and Tackle boat and rental. You know, when you fish there, he's going to put you right on the fish. They've got everything they need at the tackle store. Fishing in the catfish bite is absolutely on the chew. We've been watching their Facebook reports and getting a lot of people to call in. Moving over down to Irvine Lakes, not only can you catch trout, but there's a lot of big bass right now. The bass are really biting. A lot of different types of underwater structure because they raise the water levels.
Right.
So it's really making the bass bite just go off. You've got everything from high grassy areas down by the docks. A lot of good fishing right now. And then, of course, the pre-spawn. This week, big announcement. You know, they were supposed to wait until this week for catfish opener.
Right.
They actually started dumping in a bunch of really good quality catfish for last week. So this week, June 6th, June 7th, June 8th, is going to be the premier spot to be in Orange County. It's 10,000 pounds of quality.
Yeah, in fact, you and I are going to try to get on the lake on Friday?
Oh, yeah, I think Friday we should go. That's the morning of the opener. It's kind of a special day. Friday, if you can get out there, Saturday, Sunday, it's just going to be off the hook there. And, of course, you can do camping. We're even thinking about doing some camping out there the night before. Get a big group together and see what we can catch.
So what are the
morning.
Big catches for the week? You got any, anything that you can...
So the average catch right now is in the 3 to 5 pound range, and that's pretty much across the board. There's been some nice catfish out of the different lakes, like Lake Elsinore. There was a 5 and an 8 pounder in the 10 to foot 12 range right by actually the dock area on the shore.
Very good.
So, yeah, there's some fish are popping. I can't wait for catfish season to start. It's one of my favorite times of year.
And the best thing to use is bite on?
Mac baits.
Mac baits.
Mac
I like
baits
that.
Are flying off the shelf.
Or the shrimp, too. And...
The Mac shrimp, any of the bite on Cajun sauce. And, of course, all your local tackle stores are already stocked up and ready to go. So let's switch out that light tackle and get ready for some heavy action.
Okay, and I'm going to just make a quick announcement that since we're talking freshwater, the Angler Chronicles crew, we're going to be out in Hemet near Diamond Valley Lake later on today.
Yeah.
There's a great event. It's Cast Out Cancer. We're going to be supporting the Cancer Society through, God, I don't even know if I can say their name, Broke Blank Bass Anglers. Okay.
Okay.
Baba. Yeah, they're putting this thing together. And again, it's Cast Out Cancer. It's today between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. out in Hemet. Okay, we're going to have four booths there. We're going to be there with Angler Chronicles, Owner Hooks, Bass Knuckles, Bite On, and Cedros Adventures. So we'll be there. And if you're nearby, come and join us. Okay, I'm going to have myself, Tony, and Jimmy. Okay, we're going to go out there and come by and say hello.
Absolutely.
Okay? Sounds good? All right. So let's get a little bit into this into the conversation here, Mike. So I remember this whole thing started about, 8 months ago? I started hearing the chatter, you know, especially our tuna. Everybody's worried about the tuna.
Yeah, this all started, I would say, about a year ago.
Yeah.
You started seeing these, you know, postings on Facebook or other social media that were purported that the radioactive levels of fish tested off the U.S. are at unsafe levels, and there were high cesium levels detected in sand and other, you know, samples of water off our coasts. And, you know, did a little bit of research into that and found that that just wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah, so let's give our listeners a little more background. I need you to go back in your memory banks and remember we had that huge earthquake in Japan, and then it caused the Fukushima, right?
Yes.
It caused the reactors to, the whole plant to start leaking. And
yeah, there was a meltdown in one of the reactors.
Right, and so it did put radiation in the water. So let's face it, it's true. That water, that cooling water went into the ocean.
Yes.
And it's there. So I guess the question is, did the fish absorb that radiation? That's the question. And are they passing it on to us? And that's what we'll try to answer today during the show. Okay.
Yeah, there have been a couple studies that suggest that that might be true, and others that say that that's not true at all. And
okay.
It's really interesting read.
So we had a conversation before the show started that I asked you, are the tuna that you see on the coast of Japan the same tuna that we see on our coast? In other words, do those fish follow whatever stream, and do they make it here, or is it a different circle?
Personally, I think that with the albacore that are caught off the west coast of the U.S., I think those are the same fish. I think they do the migration route that takes them by Japan and back over to here.
Okay, so albacore is one of those that could be both coasts.
Mm-hmm.
How about bluefin?
I think bluefin is the same way, but it's hard to tell. They see a lot bigger fish than we do at Japan, but if you do a search on, like I tried to research it last night, and there's no distinct population segments of the Pacific bluefin on either side of the Pacific.
Okay, now, I don't want to say we're ignorant, but let's just say like this. If the fish are smaller here than they are in Japan, we would have to say that they came by our coast before their coast, right?
That would be logical, yes.
Okay, and we don't have radiation on our coast.
There's leftover from, you know, the testing that went back in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
But no, not there's no current source of it right now.
Okay. That's what I want to clear up, okay? Because if it was the other way around, then we'd say, okay, well, those fish came over here. Now, I also know when after the earthquake and the tsunami and the whole thing, that the unfortunate happenings in Japan, that we had a lot of debris that started showing up on our coast. I remember in Oregon, and you guys remember that? I remember a motorcycle showed up one place.
Some boats and some pieces of docks.
Yeah, and pieces of docks. So there is obviously something pushing from Japan over to us. And I think that's where it gets, I think with people a little bit worried. Okay.
Well, for a reason, I think, with regard to the debris fields, yes.
Yeah.
But I think those are more going to be carried by winds and surface currents than any radioactivity will be, you know, not affected too much by the wind, but would be carried around by the currents.
Yeah, and we're about to get started. I mean, the tuna bite has already begun, which we're really happy here in Southern California. And we felt that it was very, very appropriate to get this topic in there because we're going after these fish. I've gotten reports south of the border from, some really great sources that say that the tuna pods that are out down there headed their way north are even bigger than last year. Okay, and I talked to one long-range captain. He goes, you know, my biggest problem with that is that by the time, you know, there's still tuna in November, but people are already tuned out. Okay, they don't want to come out anymore because it's just so much tuna. So we're going to have an epic year. Okay, what do you think, Larry?
Well, I'm gonna scoot back just a little bit to your debris-filled stuff, and I have a friend that lives on the beach in Washington, Southern Washington, and on a daily basis. He's a retired vet, and so he lives right by the beach, and every morning he's beach combing, and on a daily basis he's finding all kinds of stuff. And one of our other guests, Sergio, mm-hmm. is Captain G, Greg Vella, will be joining us here shortly. And because of all the stuff that he's finding on the beach there is in Japanese, all the writing on it, so mm-hmm. it's definitely from the Fukushima event. I hooked him up with Greg Vella so that he could translate.
Is it really the Fukushima event or is it a tsunami? Okay, because Fukushima
If you want to split it like that, I understand. So from the tsunami and
earthquake,
all the debris that washed back into the ocean from the tsunamis, and there's just... It seems endless the amount of stuff that they find on the beach up there.
Yeah, and it's coming, and it's bringing it across. And that thinking back to our conversation, I mean that's where the the question is. I mean, are we eating fish that are safe? You know, and I haven't met anybody that can glow in the dark yet.
I can tell you this: that my friend Mike up there in Washington has actually had the debris tested. Okay, he knows somebody there with a Geiger counter, and he I'm thinking that's the right term for it, a device that measures the radiation, and it's normal. I would say non-existent, but I don't think there is such a thing.
No.
I think there's natural radiation in almost everything that we come across, so everything that he recovers on the beach there is normal.
I mean, let's face it. If you step outside, you're gonna get radiation from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I was privy to a different aspect of this, and my father. Okay, he's always worked in the medical field with X-ray equipment. All right, so X-ray, you know, portables. You know, we go get an X-ray. You know, he took care of all that. In fact, goes into fluoroscopy, etc. And he always carried a little badge, okay, to add it up. But we'll talk about that. Okay, well, hear the music. It means we have to take a very, very short break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Captain Chris Pica, okay? And he'll give us the latest out of Dana Point. You're on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, and we'll be right back.
Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
Radio.
AM 830.
Come check out the largest indoor shooting range in all of Orange County. On Target. Certified distributors for Glock, Wilson Combat,
Springfield, Sig Sauer, CZ,
Mossberg, Remington, Ruger, and Beretta.
20 lanes open 7 days a week.
Serving Orange County for 18 years.
Conveniently located off the 5 freeway in Laguna Niguel.
Classes of all kinds, including firearm selection, home defense, and women's personal safety.
All NRA certified instructors.
Great for corporate fun shoots, team buildings, birthdays, bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Folks of all ages and types, from scout troops to law enforcement to government agencies, love On Target.
For more information, go to OnTargetRange.com. That's OnTargetRange.com.
Or call 949-348-0352. That's 949-348-0352.
Hi, everybody. This is Ronnie Kovac, and I'm here with longtime friend and a great partner on our show, Danny Strunk with 22nd Street Landing. Danny, what's going on this summer at 22nd Street? What do you guys got cooking for us?
Well, Ronnie, we have our Wednesday special. Every Wednesday, we have the half, three-quarter day Monte Carlo Pursuit, as well as the Freedom, doing a manager special from 22nd Street Landing. You want to save some money this summer, come on down and fish with us on Wednesdays. We have new management that's taken over the tackle store, the fully stocked tackle store for every need that you might have sport fishing this summer with us.
You've got rental rods there, you've got food, you've got lots of lures and tackle. It's pretty much a complete one-stop tackle store. You can even buy a gunny sack if you need it, right?
Exactly.
What about the website?
Our website is www.22ndstreet.com, or you can give us a call on our phone for reservation or any information you might have at area code 310-832-8304.
Where are you located, bro?
We are in San Pedro, California, 141 West 22nd Street, conveniently located right off the 110 freeway.
And give us the names of some of those great legendary boats at 22nd Street Landing in San Pedro, Danny.
We have the Monte Carlo, the Pursuit, the Sea Angler, the Freedom.
Captain Danny Strunk from 22nd Street Landing in San Pedro. Thanks, Danny. Tight lines.
Bass Knuckles clothing will put the wow in your fishing wardrobe. With designs so nice, you'll want to wear them on and off the water. Bass Knuckles t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, button-ups, and hats are the highest quality on the market. Made from 100% cotton, double stitched and pre-shrunk, these shirts are ready to take on life, on or off the water. Tagless design for comfort and finished with Bass Knuckles signature embroidered patch, you're sure to turn heads. Check out Bass Knuckles clothing at bassknuckles.com and also coming soon to a retailer near you. Ask your local tackle and clothing retailers if they carry Bass Knuckles clothing by name. With over 20 designs to choose from, we have something for everyone. So go to bassknuckles.com today to get the hottest fishing clothing anywhere.
I am an angler, a heroic defender of the noble sport of fishing. When I go out with my crew, we're prepared for everything, from itty-bitty mosquitoes to the biggest bass you've ever seen. Not to mention, we all wear life jackets. And with this year's drought conditions, we're also defending every last drop of water, saving lives and saving water, because the best defense is a good offense. Just don't tell the fish that.
Take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Listeners weigh in on the Travis Rogers Show.
I listen to Travis Rogers. Don't always agree, but man, he's always got a good take.
Good job, good effort. Good job, good effort. I love it.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Angels Radio AM 830.
Welcome back, everybody, to Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, and you're listening to Angler Chronicles Radio Outdoor Expeditions. And I need to go immediately down south and talk to our friend and captain out of Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching, Captain Chris Pica. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this week?
Good, good, good. I just want to say it was a pleasure to spend some time with you earlier this week, and we had a really, really good fun event on Saturday, huh, Larry? We were on the little cruise, the nightly cruise there. I highly recommend that to any of the guys that you got. If you guys are out there and you want to get your significant other off your back when you go fishing, take her out on these cruises. It was 8 to 9:30. They have great drinks, live band, just cruise around the bay. You know, we're not talking high seas. It's nice and mild. Tony,
all protected seas right in the bay.
Tony, yeah. You could make it, okay? And it was just a lot of fun, wasn't it, Ron? You know, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Yep, everybody had a great time.
Yeah, so
that's... Yeah, hey, Sergio, the band right on the stern of the boat.
Wasn't that great?
It was awesome. We had such a good time.
Yeah, and then we also had a great time on the Thursday Twilight, Pika. You were there.
I was there. That was awesome. A lot of fun calico fishing.
Yeah. So what's going on down at Dana Wharf?
All right, guys. We got half days going out, you know, starting at 6:30, 10 o'clock, and then 12 o'clock. Now, on the half-day trips, they're targeting calico bass, sand bass, sheephead, some sculpin, and we're also seeing some barracuda starting to show up in the mix. You know, a lot of shorts, you know, but there are some, a handful of legals mixed in with them. But that's a start, you know. It's just the season's just kicking off, and that's a good thing. You know, guys, three-quarter days, they leave at 6 o'clock, come back at 3 o'clock, and they're targeting some rockfish as well as some bass. You know, they're also targeting a sand bass, calico bass, sheephead and stuff. They're starting outside there and coming on in to fish the bass. So, guys, that's, you know, a lot of fun. And, of course, you know firsthand, man, that bass fishing is kicking off. A lot of action there, a lot of surface action. So when you come out, be prepared to fish the surface, you know, and also bring another rod where you can drop down and fish the bottom. But you never know what's going to pop up this time of year, you know. So
let me stop you right there. I mean, you bring up a very good point, and we always want to share the best way. So my question to you would be, what are the three setups that you would recommend to come out and fish for the bass and the rockfish?
Well, definitely bring a rod you can cast with, and use your lighter lines. They're more productive for the bass, the calico bass, and it's been a surface bite, like I said. You know, so you're going to want to, you know, bring some, like, some split shots, little quarter, eighth-ounce sliding sinkers. You know, you want to get your line down just past the birds there, because these guys are going to be chumming and getting these fish fired up, you know, and these bass are going to come up to the surface, and they're going to be exploding on those baits and getting airborne sometimes. So you definitely want to be fishing the surface, but you want a little bit of weight just to get down below it. You know, the calicos are suspended all the way up to the surface. You know, and then you got sand bass, and you got even halibut and stuff down by the bottom. So, and you never know. Some yellows might pop up, or who knows. So you want to use bring a heavier rod with you, you know, like a 20-pound stick. That way you can drop down, or you could, you know, you have something with a little bit of backbone to it. You know, but, you know, your lines have been productive for the calico bass. So your 8, 10, 12-pound test, that's been very productive on those calicos.
All right. Well, great. So we've got half days. We've got three-quarter days. I know you got a full day, and you also have some twilight action. And, guys, don't forget, I mean, you guys are still doing some whale watching over there. So if you want to bring the wife and the kids, it's a great place to bring them. And if you want to have a little date night with your significant other, I highly recommend what Larry, Ron, and I did with our wives, and we just took them out to Dana Wharf, and we got on the 8 to 9:30, so we can get some dinner beforehand, and then
there's a lot of really good restaurants right there too.
Absolutely,
so just the scenario that we did, Sergio.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Dinner, then you head right over to the boat, you finish it off with some dancing on the deck.
Yeah, we did that, and you get off at 9:30, so you still have some time to get home early. So anyway. Pika, what are the best ways to contact the landing and get on board?
Okay, guys, you can give us a call here at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. You can call directly to our office, and the phone number is area code 949-496-5794, or you can look up our website at danawharf.com.
Awesome, Chris. Thank you so much, and I guess we'll be talking to you next week, brother.
That's right, guys. Hey, next time you guys come down here and go out one of those cruises, I got to come with you and bring a date and cut the debt there.
Yeah, I tell you what, and that's why I like when they say Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, where memories are made, correct?
Roger that. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, that is definitely where memories are made.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week, guys.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we had such a great time. And you know who's on the line? Okay. We talked about the West Coast, and actually, he's really on the West Coast. We're east of him, none other than Captain G. Good morning, Greg. What's going on?
Oh, good morning to you all, Sergio. And is Mike also in studio?
Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Yeah, so, Greg, just to bring you up to date, what we've done is we introduced the topic about the radiation and et cetera, et cetera. And what I want to do is I want to open it up, and I explained to Mike, I want you guys to feel free to have a conversation between the two of you, because you're kind of like on location in Japan. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know exactly what went down with the earthquake, the meltdown, the tsunami, the whole bit, and then we're going to have all the studies that Mike will present here. Okay. So, but before I get into that, I've got to go to Captain Larry, and you're going to have to give us our saltwater report. Let's get into that.
Well, I'm going to start down south because it's some of the most exciting stuff that we've got
going.
Well,
then leave it for the end. It kind of makes more sense if we can get back into. Start up north. Come on, start up north.
Okay, you got to turn me upside down here. What we got going up, we're going to start up around Santa Barbara, Ventura, Oxnard. And here in the last week, you know, we've been telling you that the white sea bass have been coming and going. Okay, well, they had another couple of good whacks at them here in the last few days. Not so much yesterday in that sector, but they're getting live squid. They are getting the white sea bass. There's a few yellowtail mixed in. And one really good thing about that area, when they set up on the sea bass grounds, if they strike out, they've always got tremendous rockfish to go back on up there. Some pretty good size white sea bass, too. Some of them that I've seen pictures of look like fish in the 20 to 30-pound range with a few bigger, but most of them were closer to the 20-pound from what I could tell in the photos. Come back down Marina del Rey, Redondo. There's been some really good calico bass fishing there. I know that, Jimmy, you were just out last Sunday, wasn't it?
Yep, and we came in because our boat broke down, but it had really good potential. And if we would have stayed out there and the current really gotten going, it would have been limit style fishing there.
And guys, listen, this is something really quick. They didn't have live squid. They snagged some mackerel.
Yes.
They
had Spanish mackerel too.
Yeah. So there's another option. If you don't have bait, snag your own. Come down to Long Beach. The boats from Long Beach and San Pedro area have been targeting, let's say, 3/4 day boats have been going to Catalina. And there's been some good scores of yellowtail, barracuda, calico bass are going off there. Captain Conroy, you were just telling us that there's a load of yellowtail over there, right?
Yeah. There was, when I was driving around there on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, there was some impressive schools on the backside.
And I'll tell you this, John on the pursuit, okay, Gus is one of his deckhands. He's saying to me, he goes, "Dude, this is great because not only have, you know, the pursuit's been scoring really good counts on the yellowtail
consistently,
but it turned for them to white sea bass. So they got into a huge white sea bass bite on the pursuit of the 22nd Street Landing. Okay, so it's good. And I will tell you, I was there also this week because we will be announcing two new charters that we're going to do on 22nd.
We can finish this up.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, we'll come back and we'll finish up on the fish count. We haven't finished up on the saltwater count. Greg, stay on the line. Remind everybody you're on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, and we'll be right back.
Flying out of LAX on your next trip? Then park at the parking spot. Our yellow and black spotted shuttles whisk you right to the front door of your airline terminal. Nothing could be easier or a better value. You'll even earn credit for free parking in the Spot Club. The parking spot has two convenient locations just minutes from LAX Airport. For directions and more information, visit theparkingspot.com. The Parking Spot. We have airport parking covered.
Hi, I'm Tony Shitanishi from Owner Hooks, and I want to talk to you about one of our new 2012 products, Jig Rig, the hottest terminal fishing product for 2012. The Jig Rig is comprised of an offset hook with a welded ring through its eyes, and on the welded ring is a split ring attached to a slim profile weight. The Jig Rig is unique because, unlike other jigs, the hook moves independent of the weight. This helps to achieve greater bait action, and when fighting fish, the pull is coming directly through the solid ring to the hook, with the weight off to the side. So, unlike traditional jigs, the fish can't use the Jig Rig's weight to leverage the hook out of its mouth. With the weight leading the way, the compact profile of this rig allows for longer and more accurate casts. Weights can easily be removed and added to the split ring without retying line or re-rigging bait. Jig Rig is available with lead or tungsten weights, and owners Yuki Bug and JR Minnow are the perfect baits for the Jig Rig. Jig Rig was designed for largemouth bass fishing, but will work on many saltwater inshore species like calico and sand bass. For further illustrations, videos, and instructions, please visit www.ownerhooks.com. Hey, good luck out there this season.
Dana Wharf Sport Fishing in Dana Point Harbor. Come check them out. Trips for anglers of all levels depart daily and kids fish free every Sunday. Enjoy clean vessels, full galleys, and friendly expert captains and crew. Everything you need for a great day of fishing for everyone, including a fleet of private charters. The Dana Wharf Kids Club is the coolest club of the sea, featuring free fishing trips, whale-watching adventures, and more. Check them out on the web for daily deals, including the famous Half Price Tuesday. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, number one angler's choice since 1971. That's Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching, located at 34675 Golden Lantern in Dana Point. You can contact them by phone at 949-496-5794 or on the web at danawharf.com. Daily adventures, lifelong memories, established 1971. Stay connected and follow them on Facebook and Twitter.
Join the conversation and connect with your favorite Angels Radio AM 830 hosts on Twitter at Travis Rogers, at Roger Lodge, and at Angels Radio KLAA.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar. If I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher.
So come on, fishy, bite my wire. Come on, fishy, bite my wire.
Fishy, bite my
wire.
Aha.
Welcome back, everybody, to Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, and this is Angler Chronicles and presenting Radio Outdoor Expeditions. And let's get back to finishing up the saltwater report. When we left, we were talking about right about San Pedro, Long Beach area, and they're going over to the islands, and the pursuit got into an unbelievable white sea bass bite. So they kind of traded the yellowtail for the white sea bass. What a big problem, huh, Larry?
Oh, my gosh. And folks, don't forget, this is the Southern California Saltwater Report brought to you by Owner Hooks, perfection in hooks. It's the only hooks that we use.
That's right.
Yep, and I'm about ready to go load up on some more of them. Hey, guys, anyways, I would say one of the highlight bites that we've seen this last week was yesterday, the pursuit on a three-quarter day trip at Catalina. 33 guys, they had 25 white sea bass. And that was alongside of all the other action that they had, calicos, and you know, they only had 30 in their count on the calico bass, but you know they probably caught 200 of them because the fishing's just been that good. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fish going back in the water. Conroy, you're involved in the I'm going to suck you into this here. Now, the squid for bait, live squid, has been kind of scratchy, but here just in the last week, we've seen more volume on squid, right?
You're seeing more areas show up with bait spots, yes.
And so that's a plus for us. The commercial guys, they're not quite what they need to see, but there is a lot more live squid available in the last week. And let's be honest,
that's what's setting off the yellowtail and the white sea bass bites.
Oh, yeah. Hey, here's the way the bite was. There was a few guys, one or two guys every day, maybe a private boat, or it might have been a sport boat, but they were able to find a little spot of squid.
I'm going to throw them out there. Captain Greg Obimeko, okay? He's been going out almost on a daily basis and limiting out on white sea bass on a private boat and some other boats that he's running. And we're talking tankers. I mean, we're not talking these little white sea bass. We're talking, he's gotten up to 60 pounds this year so far.
And that stuff that he's getting – is on a honey hole that he's got along the beach. That's not even...
No, we're not going to even go and give that away because ghosts are, as we call these fish, it's a
prey. Hey, the beach could cover 250 miles of Santa Barbara to the
So while we're at San Pedro, I was telling you, I went over to the 22nd Street Landing and I got a chance to talk to Danny Strunk, and you know, they got the Barracuda showed up over there. They got some really good bass action going on their Twilight, Captain Aaron Graham. He put up some great pictures of very, very large bass. I mean, some big bass, okay? So I know that's happening also in the Long Beach. So keep going downhill.
Okay, and then the Thunderbird, they've been fishing San Clemente Island mostly. A couple days ago, he said he had phenomenal calico bass fishing over there, and I saw some pictures of some fish that they...
Yeah, this is quality calico bass. It's over 5-pound fish. Then they do a mixture of what Captain Jeff is doing. We had a trip on the Thunderbird, a couple weeks ago? And, in fact, that's going to be a film coming up soon. But let's go back to...
Yeah, on Angler Chronicles, Fox Sports West.
That's right. And he's catching a few exotics every day. The bass is unbelievable. The fishing, because it's not just quantity, it's also quality.
And now, Sergio, he is an island freelance boat, so he has predominantly been fishing San Clemente Island, but if those fish get going at Catalina,
keep in mind one thing, that, you know, also, if you still need to fill the freezer, he's doing some great rockfish, and we're not talking some little fish.
Some
we're
huge reds.
Huge
and
reds
Lincott
and Lincott, et cetera. So, you know, go further on down.
Yeah, we heard from Chris Pica, and I'm going to tell you guys, the local fishing there, if you go down there with some light line, 8 to 12, 15-pound tests, and the anchovies that they've had there are honkers. You grab an anchovy, the thing's like 5 to 7 inches long. They're like almost hard to grab onto. Wait, put something in there, Jimmy.
I just wanted to mention one thing that I forgot to mention with Pica. A good friend of mine, Captain Calvin on the Helena, had an extended three-quarter day trip yesterday. They went offshore, and they actually saw some yellows on kelp patties. They didn't want to bite, but they got into a lot of Spanish jacks. They had 120 Spanish jacks yesterday.
The jumbos?
Yes.
The real Spanish jacks.
The really nice ones. And I just want
to
say Dana Wharf does a lot of extended three-quarter days and 5-to-5s like in August and September in past years. Going paddy hopping, they might be doing that a little earlier this year, sending their boats out, the Clemente, the Sumfun, boats like that out, looking for kelp
so
patties.
Dana Wharf is just on fire.
Yeah,
the
and before you
had.
Get to San Diego, in fact, why don't we get Captain Rick Scott on the line and talk to Rick, okay? And
it's always better coming directly from one of the captains on the scene.
Right, so Captain
we can tell you here, but he's going to give it right to you from the source.
So let's talk to Captain Rick Scott from the Ocean Odyssey. Good morning, Rick.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Dude, you got to wake up.
Hey.
Wake up.
Hook up.
Yeah, we're talking about all the fishing. I mean, I wish I could have had you. You have time today, Rick, or not?
Do I got time?
Yeah.
I've got nothing but time.
All right, good, because, you know, this subject may be right up your alley, too. Okay, we're talking about radiation and tuna, and I know, I mean, that's primarily...
Oh, yeah, I'm an expert on that.
Well, we do have some experts here. We got Captain Greg Vela in Japan. Greg, meet Rick.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? It's nice to talk
good morning,
to you.
Greg.
Okay.
Good morning.
And then I got Mike Conroy in studio here, and, you know, our attorney at law, West Coast Fisheries... you know, if you don't behave, well, if we, I like him because if we misbehave, which we usually do, he'll get us out of jail. He'll bail us out,
or okay. At least try.
Yeah, and you know, the whole thing is this big thing with, you know, Fukushima and the whole bit. Are they radioactive, and they're going to clear it up for us? But Rick, why don't you tell us what's the bite? What's the scene down in San Diego?
The scene in San Diego. Well, it's not full speed yet. The boats are getting out. Looks like on the weekends, a couple during the week. There are, as everyone knows, there were some bluefin that showed up last weekend. Well, and the boats went back out during the week. They did not find that bluefin, but the yellowfin have moved in. So that El Nino that everybody seems to be craving, I think they're going to get their fix in this year.
I think so, too. I mean, I just can't wait for our July trip because by July, we should be full speed, right?
Yeah, by July, we should be full speed.
All right. And what's the date of that trip, Ron?
It departs on July 8th, fish all day the 9th, and get home early.
So we have a day-and-a-half trip, and you call Dean on that one, right?
Right. Call the
Perfect. So we called Dina, and you got any availability on that still, Rick?
I think there is a little bit, not much.
Okay, so you guys better get on it because it's going to be phenomenal, and Owner Hooks will be on the scene, and so will Danny Jackson with a camera.
If you don't want to fish with the Anglers Chronicle crew and the Owners with Fishing School and get on TV and all that stuff, just don't call. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you don't want your 15 minutes of fame, don't come over. If you're wanted by the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, then you just probably don't want to be showing up for that trip. Otherwise, come on out, have a great time, and get it going. So when do you actually get going here, Chris? Rick. I had you and Chris last weekend, so.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, so when do you get going? What's the date?
Well, our official kickoff is on the 26th of June.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, these school trips I got to get through, Coast Guard I got to get through, and I had a list of boat work I had to get done, but I might shorten that up and maybe throw a trip on the weekend before. I think it's the 20th. So keep an eye out on the website, the H&M Landing website. We may just end up throwing a trip up a week early.
Yeah, let me know if you do, and then we'll blast it all over the place so our listeners can get on that, okay?
Uh-huh.
Awesome. And so it's going to be a great season.
It's going to be. It looks like a spectacular season, and hopefully it'll go all the way through November. Well, the problem with it starting so early is by October, everybody's already caught their fish, and they don't want to go fishing anymore. So I'll have to find a way to...
I still want to go fishing.
Oh, contraire.
Okay.
That was Robert back at the board piping in. He's ready.
He's ready. Yeah. So, okay, Rick, give me out the information. How do they get a hold of you in some of these trips? And I'm telling folks, this is going to be a phenomenal year, and I know that you really had people got to jump on your trips, and if they don't sign up quick, they're going to be out.
Well, Sergio, one of our trips is already sold out. Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, the one that we have in September is already sold out.
So, okay. Yeah, so let that be warning. Get in there.
We're talking September, and it's already sold out.
How can we sell out September already, and we haven't sold out July?
Well, you know.
We're backwards.
Well, let me tell you this. This is, it's the power of Angler Chronicles marketing. it's just we have a lot of people that wanted to get out there and get going, and I guess, we're going to start pumping this July one. And the funny thing is the July one's going to be filmed, the September, no. Maybe we're taking a lot of convicts with us on the September one. Don't want to be on TV. Maybe that's a deal. Anyway, so give us the information and get these guys to get going.
OceanOdysseyFishing.com, log right online, book online, or call Dina at 619-889-4535, but please wait till after 9 o'clock to do that.
Yes, let's not pick up the phones now. Okay, wait until after 9 o'clock so she's in a good mood. I will tell you this, you can catch a lot of information on the Ocean Odyssey on Rick Scott's Facebook page. I'm loving some of the stuff that you're pulling up there. The picture of the I had never thought there was seahorses in the bay.
Yeah, we caught a golden seahorse yesterday. It's very rare that we do catch them. A couple weeks ago, we caught a pair, actually, a male and a female.
I remember seeing that, yeah. And
yeah, it was pretty cool to see that. That one yesterday was very healthy, nice looking one.
Yeah, so the things that we take for granted that these cools actually put out. So, hey, thanks so much, Rick.
Okay, I want everybody to have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you next week, Rick.
Okay.
All right, guess what? I hear the music. It's time for coffee break. You're on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, and Angler Chronicles. We'll be right back.
Angels Radio, AM 830.
Good morning, this is Don Brockman coming to you from Davies Locker Sport Fishing and Whale Watching, located in beautiful Newport Harbor in the Balboa Pavilion. We offer daily trips for the beginner all the way up to the experienced angler. We even offer skiff rentals for fishing Newport Harbor. These trips are available daily, including half day, twilight, three-quarter day, and of course overnight trips that will take you to the big game sport fish such as tuna, yellowtail, albacore, that frequent the waters offshore of Newport Beach. We also have a full-service tackle store for all your rental tackle needs, so what are you waiting for, guys? Pick up the phone and call Davies Locker at 949-566-8788 and get your adventure started today. Also, you can look us up on the web at davieslocker.com. Once again, that phone number is 949-566-8788 and tell them that you're calling from Angler Chronicles and receive a 50% off on one of our many trips offered at Davies Locker Sport Fishing. Good fishing.
You know that feeling? The feeling of being skunked on the lake? You're bored, anxious, sleepy, just hoping to get that bite on? What do you do to switch it up? Do you run to the tackle store? Or try to find the guy on the lake who's catching a monster of stringers on trophy fish and ask him what he's using? Because you want to know what a 5, 10, 15, or 20-pound monster or trophy fish feels like. Well, everyone, his secret is out. Bite On Fish Attractants. Simply add Bite On Liquid Attractant to your baits, lures, jigs, dough baits, and live worms. Log on right now for details on your free bottle of Bite On. www.anglerbros.com. That's right, anglerbros.com for details on your free bottle of Bite On. Available now at Turner's Outdoorsman and your local bait and tackle stores throughout California. Coming soon to Sports Chalet and all the Eastern Sierra bait and tackle stores just in time for this year's trout opener. Bite On Fish Attractants, the only scent where fish get hooked. anglerbros.com makes a perfect gift too.
I am a heroic angler. Everyone on my boat wears a life jacket and hooks their own bait, especially the squishy stuff.
Take your hero quiz at BoatCalifornia.com. A message from the California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
It's good to start your day with a smile and a smirk. Get up with Travis Rogers weekday mornings at 6 on Angels Radio AM 830 KLAA.
Well, you know, I know the song goes, we don't need it, but we're going to give it to you anyway. Education and thoughts control. Anyway, let's go to education. But, you know, before we get into that, I have to go to Captain James Nelson because he's got to get on the water. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, Sergio. What's happening up there?
Well, I got to ask you before anything else because of the topic today. Are you glowing in the dark yet?
Am I doing what in the dark yet?
Glowing in the dark with radiation.
Glowing in the dark. No, I haven't gotten into any of these special tune-up, but you know what?
Hmm.
If they're radiated and it heats them up enough where they want to come right outside of Point Loma, I say bring them on up, buddy.
Attaboy, attaboy. So, hey, I know you got to get out and on your charter, so let everybody know what you do because we filmed a couple of times with you and we've had such a blast. So let them know what you do, how do they get in contact with you, and they can book a trip.
Well, what I do is I try to listen to what the customer is asking for. Not everybody wants to chase yellowtail. I don't know why, but hey, that's their business. Today we're after some bonefish. Recently we've been catching a lot of bass, man. The little calicos, the little 2-pound calicos are just so easy to catch and so much fun, especially mm-hmm. dropping a spoon down there, yanking around your broadband scoop. Who can pass that up, dude?
I know.
And you said, man, that's just too much fun. So we've been doing a lot of that, and that's what I do. You know, if you want to go chase calicos, we'll go chase calicos. Want to go look for some yellowtail, we'll go do that. You know, we'll play in the bay. Today we'll probably try to get a shark or two, so we'll see what's going on there. But best way to get a hold of me, if you can't find me online at James Nelson or Captain James Nelson, try me at thefishicon.com, thefishicon.com. Or better yet, give me a call, 619-395-0799.
And you're also on Facebook under James Nelson, correct?
I try to be just about everywhere but the post office.
Yeah, especially your picture up on the wall.
You got it, man.
James, one more time, your number?
619-395-0799. And as Sergio said, I even try to get on the TV show from time to time, English Chronicles, and on the radio. Hey.
All right. Hey, listen, James, have a great day on the water, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You too, brother. Take care.
All right. Okay, so we got down to San Diego. Is there anything else that you guys need to say about saltwater fishing in San Diego?
I'm going to say that we have a trip coming up next Thursday. I don't know if I'm stealing this from Ron.
Yeah, we'll let him go, but I'm talking about San Diego. And the reason I want to point that
Well, okay, Sergio, we didn't mention that the three-quarter day boats out of Seaforth and H&M and Point Loma are still whacking the yellows at the Coronados.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Earlier in the week, there was some tremendous scores. It tapered off a little bit as the week went on, but, oh, my gosh, I saw some of our friends, our listeners that had pictures, guys with limits of yellowtail at Coronados.
Yeah, and I will say this, that there was a few boats down there that got over 100 yellowfin. So it was like Rick was saying, the bluefin are sting, they popped up, they went away, but the yellowfin are in full swing. Yellowfin seems to tell me we're going to have an El Nino year. So get ready, boys and girls. It's starting early, so let's get this thing rolling, okay? So let's go ahead and finish up with a topic. Well, not finish up, but let's get more into it between Greg and Mike. Start giving us some info. Give us some info. Are these fish radioactive? Should I worry when I go to a sushi bar? Although people that know me know that I don't eat fish, so I won't have that problem. But should we worry?
I'm going to say in short, no.
Okay.
Are you there, Greg?
In short, no also. I agree 100%.
Okay. So Greg, you know, maybe we should start over there because the problem occurred over there. Have you seen anything, any reports about the fishery there in Japan?
Yeah, you know, after the earthquake and subsequent tsunami, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty because there was still radiation was leaking for quite some time into the ocean. And as far as the fisheries and the local fisheries and even, you know, near shore fisheries were concerned, you know, there was a moratorium on fish caught in that area, obviously. And as time went on, the government was doing studies, both the national government and the prefectural government. And you know, after some time had elapsed, not only did you know, more facts and information come out on the daily news and newspapers, but you know, I started talking to the people that some of my friends that I fish with who are sushi chefs or chefs at hotels, fish buyers, fish auction workers, and you know, what I always like to ask them is, you know, just to get it straight from them is, you know, what do they think? Do they feed that to their young children? Or one of my friends had a last year, his wife was pregnant, and he said, I have absolutely no issues in serving you know, his wife, you know, eating the raw fish, both sushi and sashimi. So, you know, but between you know, you always hear some of the crazy rumors and stuff that some of the groups put out for their own political purposes, you know, that say the fish are radioactive or there's other issues. If you kind of sort through everything, you know, I just really haven't seen anything that that would stop me from, you know, consuming or serving it to my family and friends.
Well, that's how this all got started, Greg. Remember, what was it, a year ago or so, we started seeing those posts show up that said, you know, all the tuna are radioactive and all this and that. And so you and I started to actually converse about this.
Yeah, it was about a year ago that we first started having dialogue on this. And maybe you can inform us as to the you know, the technical aspects of it.
Well, I can try. I'm no scientist. I'll just play one on the radio. But no, I mean, we kept seeing all these not really scientific reports, but just reports that there was increasing radioactivity off our coast, that bluefin and albacore in particular were showing signs of radioactivity. And so I started to dig around a little bit, and I think you started to dig around a little bit on your side of the ocean too. And from what I can tell, and it's kind of timely because there's just two reports that were issued in the last 5 weeks. One, a UC Berkeley report that tested kelp anywhere from Washington all the way down to Chile, and they found no signs of any radioactivity whatsoever in that kelp outside of what we normally experience just from, you know, like you said earlier, Sergio, mm-hmm. just the air, the sun, cosmic rays, and all that. And then back in April, Oregon State issued a report where it actually compared tissue samples of albacore that were caught before the March 2011 tsunami with albacore caught in the last couple of years. And they did notice that there was some slight increase, but they also noted that you'd have to eat 700,000 pounds of that albacore to make up for one day of being outdoors.
Yeah, and that might kill you, actually, eating that much, would it not?
It probably would not be healthy.
That's a lot of omega-3.
That's a lot of omega-3. Mm.
All right. So we can say that the two latest reports that we have shows absolutely no increase. Okay. Now, we talk about the tuna, but you made a very good point before the show as we were chatting, Mike, that we should look at it also into other species. Okay. Has it affected any of the other species that we fish here locally?
Oh, no, I would say no. I mean, fish have been caught off the West Coast, and when they're shipped overseas or domestically, they're tested.
Right.
And you hear nothing about it. I mean, if you go to the California Department of Public Health's website, you'll see that there is a public health notice on certain fish caught in Monterey Bay for domoic acid. Mm-hmm. And you see nothing on there about radioactivity in any of the fish species caught off California.
Yeah, and what we'll do in mostly in the second hour is we'll get a lot deeper. I want to get deeper into some of these reports that you have and some of that information because, Greg, I mean, we definitely need to debug this rumor, okay, right before the season gets really in full swing. I mean, you know, we got reports of yellowfin tuna and bluefin tuna. They're coming up the line. I mean, we're already catching them, Larry. So it's time to let people feel comfortable that, you know what, go catch them and you can eat them. It's okay.
Yeah, and there's reports of albacore already off Monterey as well. So
did you hear that, Larry?
I was thinking it was time. I had a question about this for you.
Okay, so that's the way to go. Okay, so let me ask Robert. Robert, how much time do we have? Robert, knock on his window. How much time do I have before the next break? Okay, 2 or 3 minutes. That's not enough. Because I got 2.5 minutes. But you know what? Can you cue up Eric Bent from the Saltwater Bass Anglers? Okay. I want to say good morning, Eric. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Sergio.
Yeah, we're... Hey. Yeah, I don't... Hey. Yeah.
So how do you catch a radioactive bass?
That's what that's why I wanted to bring you in. I mean, you know, we have such...
You use nuclear chicken.
Ah!
Nuclear chicken.
The color, nuclear chicken. Yeah, it's one of the... Actually, that's one of Jimmy Decker's favorite color in the Berkeley Gulp.
I can't lay claim to that. We're in Huntington Harbor going out through the channel here, and Brant McLaughlin from Carne de Teresa just... threw that joke at me, and I said, too funny.
Well, let me maybe warn people that next week we're going to have you in studio with the SWBA, and we're going to have Brent from Carne de Teresa in, and we're going to be talking about a fantastic, fantastic event that's coming up on June 20th, the Olive Crest event, okay? And I don't want to ruin it for people, but we'll do it next week, okay? It'll be next Saturday's show. You'll be in studio. So all you guys that are out there, okay, they want to get some great information on the SWBA, what it means to catch some of these beautiful bass. And let me just say this. You know, the calico bass colors, I mean, sometimes you get some that are really golden brown. Sometimes you get some that are really pale when it's colder water and deep. And sometimes you get these green-looking ones. The green ones are not radioactive, right, Mike?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. So where are you headed today, Eric?
We're practicing for the Miller Lite Ironman event in 2 weeks out of Long Beach. So we're actually in Huntington Harbor. We're just going to stay locally. It's a different format for this year's season. It's a 5-fish limit, but the anglers can't have more than 3 of any one species in their 5-fish limit. So guys, for instance, can weigh 3 calicos and 2 sand bass. Or 3 sand bass and 2 calicos, but they can't have 4 of any one. So it's forcing the guys to figure out maybe different types of water, different types of structure to weigh a limit at this event. So
all right, well, listen, stay on the line. I got to take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll finish up with, I'm interested in this Ironman event. So stay on the line. We'll be right back. You're on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. And Chad, hold on. I got none other than the Sheriff Danny Jackson coming on, so we'll be right back.